Hi, my name is Jeff Hara. I'm the founder of Type Ahead AI, which is an AI-powered screen reader for the blind and the visually impaired. And I happen to be working out of Kyoto this evening. I'm in Japan right now, but most of the time I'm based in Seattle.
Well, first off, thank you so much for coming on to Double Tap. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, it's great to meet you both too.
So tell us first off, because for people who are new to hearing about Type Ahead for the very first time, I mean, immediately hearing, hang on, AI-powered screen reader for blind people on Mac? Okay. What's that about? So tell us the genesis of this idea.
I guess my background is that I've been a software engineer and I worked at a handful of big tech companies. But the most recent, or I guess like where I spent a lot of my time was at Twitter. And after it got bought out by Elon, I kind of went through this period of like, what am I doing with my life? And I got really interested in doing a startup in general. And I guess just with like ChatGPT coming out, the idea that really interested me the most was this intersection of AI and accessibility. And so the product that I'm trying to build right now is to try to fit that need and fit that market. And I think that AI presents like this really awesome opportunity to change how we interact with computers. And I think the best place to start is with the people who are, super early adopters and people who are really interested in trying out a new way of experiencing computers. And so that's kind of where I landed with working with people who are blind and visually impaired.
And you were at Twitter, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I was at Twitter up until about February, end of February of this past or of last year. So I got to stay through the transition of like the Twitter 2.0 X transition, if you will. It was pretty chaotic, and I think it really like shook up, I guess, what I wanted to do out of my career. It made me question a lot of things about like, I guess my future as a software engineer, and I think it kind of kicked me down this like entrepreneurial path.
Wow, there's a whole other conversation. We need to get you back. That is so interesting. So were you working at Twitter in terms of accessibility? What made you, because AI at the moment is just breaking through so many barriers, breaking into so many different sectors. What made you choose accessibility or a screen reader?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wasn't working on accessibility at Twitter. I was working on search and recommendations for the most part. And so at some point I was just trying to look for different applications of AI, and I knew how to tinker with some code, but I didn't really have a good customer to work for. And so when I quit my job in December, so I'd switched jobs after Twitter, but I left my job in December and I spent about a month just trying to go to different meetups and different networking events to just talk to people in different industries and learn about the types of problems that they might have and try to figure out if AI could be applied to solve their problems. And I think the one that I had the best response was when I visited this blind community center in Seattle. It's called Lighthouse for the Blind. And when I talked to some of the people who were there, I asked them, what it's like to use a screen reader, and they kind of showed me like little demos of how to use it. And it became very clear to me that like this felt like the type of thing that AI would be really good at solving. So if you could just give it like a natural language command, then you don't have to know all these keyboard shortcuts and like basically fight with the computer to move the cursor around. And so I think that's kind of like, I think I just saw that demo and I was like, I think I could solve this. And so that's kind of what kicked that chain of events. I'm not sure how best to put it, but it wasn't like I had some personal connection. I'm a sighted person, but I think it was just kind of like serendipitous in terms of deciding to go visit a blind community center and ask them what they think. But also just like a combination of the people that I met and the way that they were excited about the product idea. And I think that all helped a lot.
Well, look, as Sean and I know too well because we talk about it so much, one of the things we sometimes get a little bit irritated by, and maybe it's just me, but I sometimes get a little bit irritated when people come along and just say, "Hey, I've got a great idea. This will work for you as a blind person," and they don't speak to any blind people. But you did. You actually did go to that place. You spoke to blind people. And what were their reactions to the idea of using AI as a screen reader?
Yeah, it's definitely a big mix. One of the other places that I posted very early on was on applevis.com. I kind of just stumbled upon it. The people at the Lighthouse for the Blind had told me that this forum existed. And I had some sort of like toy code that I'd put together, but I basically just like shared the idea with that forum and asked them what they thought. And I got like, I don't know, dozens of comments immediately just from people, good and bad. Like a lot of people were very cynical about like another sighted person trying to, you know, write software for them.
That was Steven.
I can totally understand that. I can totally understand that. But there are a lot of people who also said like, look, I think it's really awesome that someone is trying to solve this type of problem. And it's an overlooked problem, I think. I guess speaking as someone who worked at a lot of these big tech companies, accessibility ends up being like this like little checklist item. You have to make sure you apply the right labels and blah, blah, blah to make your product shippable. But it's not something that you design around necessarily. So it does kind of feel like an afterthought to a lot of big tech companies, I think. And so trying to build something that's like accessibility first, I think, is kind of unique. And so that's kind of how I've been trying to think about this.
How would you describe what you've done here? What I mean, the trouble with AI, it's almost all encompassing, because we've been talking about how we think AI is going to change how we use technology anyway. It's almost the ultimate interface, right? Would you say that this is a screen reader, or is this just a very accessibility aware voice assistant? How would you actually describe this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know one of the most common pieces of feedback that I get is that it's not really a screen reader, because screen readers do a specific thing. It has a cursor. It can like read out some text, and that's not really what I'm doing. In some ways, like I'm intentionally not doing that because I feel like it already works. You don't need to reinvent the wheel there. I think like the piece that feels missing is the co-pilot slash agent kind of experience of the computer operating itself. And the reason why I like drawing the comparison with the screen reader is to kind of say like, here's how things work now, here's how things could work in the future. But that's not to say that this is a replacement of a screen reader necessarily. And so I think that's where the terminology is a little bit weird. I think I also don't like the word co-pilot and agent that much, because it doesn't really mean anything to me yet. I think like there's not a ton of clear examples of what that experience feels like. So I think to your point, like AI can do so much, but that's another way of saying that we don't really know what it can do.
That is so true. And I am one. I think we're both 100% with you on that.
Yep.
Because we have this conversation, especially around Copilot, right? We're always thinking, well, what can this thing do? How is it going to make a difference to me? And you know, it's so interesting that you come up with this idea, because this is exactly what I think AI can do for us, in the sense that, and I say us being blind people, we can get the benefit of being able to navigate our systems with ease. There's so much of the web that's inaccessible. And this is something that I'm sure you've heard. So much of it that's inaccessible. But we know there's the button. We know there's the element there we want to do. I mean, for example, you go to, let's just say Amazon, which is fairly accessible, but let's use it as an example. You know, you go to Amazon, you want to add something to a basket. You know, find the yellow toaster, you know, under $50, add it to my basket, pay using my credit card ending 1234. That's kind of what we want to do. And if AI could help us do that, that would be brilliant, right? Because it would take away all those accessibility hurdles, all those keystrokes you have to learn, all that navigation you have to do.
Exactly.
Is that your thinking? Is that is almost like it is an assistant, but it's also a screen reader? Is that combination?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to like put my thoughts in order here, but I think like what I like about focusing on people who are blind and visually impaired is that it's not easy to do a lot of these things, I think, compared to if you could use your mouse and could see the screen. Like, I had a user interview with someone where they showed me how to use JAWS, and it was just like a Zoom call, but they were showing me like, oh, this is how I put something in an item. And it took, you know, a good amount of time to find the buy button. And I think like Amazon's whole sell is that, you know, they have this like one click buy. And so it's supposed to be so slick and so easy, but they also put so much garbage on the screen that it's hard to actually do that task if you're using a screen reader. And so I think like that was one of the use cases that jumped out to me as like, okay, this has to be solved, and it's definitely tractable.
And to be fair, that's because as a sighted person, you can take your mouse, you can take the cursor past all that garbage and go straight to the button. Whereas we need to find the button. We have to navigate past all that, listen through all that sometimes, or try and jump past it with headings or whatever else, or through links to get to that specific button. That's assuming we know what that button is. Is it a button? Is it a link?
It does seem like there's a lot of like overhead Like, you have to keep a lot of things in memory about, like, how a certain website is laid out. And I think that's, like, one of the things that, you know, as it's, like, screen reader 2.0, if you will, I think, like, a good version of that would be, you don't have to think as hard. You don't have to remember as much. And it makes your life easier, hopefully. I think that would be, like, the longer-term goal here.
So what your software is offering is a natural language, a natural way to ask for a task to be performed, you know, send an email to so-and-so with the subject line here and the message and whatever else it may be. But when it comes to accessibility, and in the example you just gave there, or Stephen just gave about inaccessible elements on a website, let's say, is there any way that AI can help with that? We've seen something on the iPhone in iOS called screen recognition. And it tries to identify any, you mentioned unlabeled buttons earlier on, labeling elements. I mean, that is an issue for a screen reader user if it just says button, 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 and no idea what it is. So is that something you may be working towards, about the ability to understand or break down the elements of a website or an app or whatever it may be, and actually make it accessible to screen readers?
Yeah, and I think one of the features that I tried to build to help solve this was this way to take a screenshot of whatever's underneath the cursor and then have GPT describe what it's seeing. And that ends up being, like, probably the majority of how people today use the app. I guess, like, the way that I'm picturing it is, like, it's kind of like a Be My AI for your computer, which, you know, to be honest, I haven't done enough research to know if such a thing already exists, but that is the thing that I'm trying to build, I suppose. I think I've heard of something called VOCR, which I think is, like, an open source thing that has some sort of similar features, but I'm not sure if it's, like, super interactive, and I haven't played around with it myself. So I think that's one of the things that...
I think you need to be a little bit more advanced as a voiceover user to be able to benefit from that truly.
I see.
What we're looking for, I guess, is something that's a little bit more easier on the entry level. People who are... Yeah, exactly. A bit more user-friendly. It's got a UI, you know, it's not... As soon as... I have to be honest, whenever I see
GitHub... And
that's
what accessibility is all about, so...
Yeah.
It makes sense.
But whenever I see GitHub involved, I panic because I think, what does this mean? What do I have to download? What are these elements I have to...
Do you know what?
...to go off and find?
That is an excellent example, actually. I've been downloading some things recently from GitHub, and navigating through that and knowing, you know what, all I want to do is download this, the executable or the installer... Oh. For this project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And trying to find that using a screen reader is really difficult, especially if you're not particularly techie. I don't know what this fork means or whatever. I don't even know what area I should be. So the ability to just go and say, can you download this from GitHub, the installer from GitHub, would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you know, after this, I'll try to see how well my thing is doing at that. But that's a great example.
So let's talk about the depth this can go to, right? Because from my... Sure. Early reading of this and early trials of it, I kind of immediately, as we all do as blind people, and I think we all do this as people these days, you get something that comes along like this, you get so excited, so you jump in and you say, ah, right, can it do this? Can it do that? Can it do this next thing? And I immediately opened up my audio editor, which is called Audacity, which is not the most accessible app in the world on the Mac anymore, sadly. And I thought, oh, it can read the elements for me. And it couldn't see them. It kept giving me errors saying, oh, don't know what you're talking about, or, you know, in computer language, obviously.
Right.
Go get lost, Stephen, go and do something else, I think was the suggestion. But and that would be the right answer. But
we hear that a lot.
We get that a lot. But I do think I do wonder, actually, what is the depth to this? How much can this software see on my system?
I guess just to, you know, peel back what's behind the hood. What it's really doing is just inspecting all of the accessibility labels and elements at once. And so every application that supports accessibility elements would kind of structure their application as, like, this big accessibility tree. And so what my software is doing is it's parsing that entire tree, throwing it at ChatGPT and deciding what to do with that. So at present, if the app itself doesn't support any sort of accessibility, then the app doesn't really know about that, unless if it's using the vision capabilities. But the vision capabilities isn't that integrated with taking actions yet. And so I think that's, like, one of the gaps that I'm trying to, that I want to prioritize next, basically. So the apps that don't have accessibility labels, can my app still be useful for that? Because that seems like the thing that people have the most trouble with today. But it's a lot easier said than done. There's a lot of things that are still not super working on the ChatGPT side of things. I think that's not so good at locating positions. So if you give it like a picture and say like click on the right side of the picture, like it doesn't really know that level of granularity yet. I expect it'll all get there, and it'll get to a point where you can say like, give me the XY coordinate on this picture to click. But I think until then, you might have to do a little bit of, you know, engineering and elbow grease to get that to work, which is the type of thing that I still haven't done yet.
And to be fair, you've been perfectly honest and open about that. I read your post on AppleViz when you first posted it, I think, because as you said, there was lot of interest and everyone was, oh, let's check this out. So, and you did say, you know, you're just, this is very much the beginnings. This is very much you're playing with the code. So I totally understand you're just accessing the accessibility layer at the minute and grabbing the elements out of there. But it's just, as Stephen said, it's always, oh, hang on, if it could do that, what if it could do that? We always want more. And trying to make elements that aren't, visible to the accessibility API, that would be very cool. But even just the ability, said, the interaction, and this is what excites me about AI, being able to interact with technology in a human-like way, it's a game changer.
I think it also makes a difference for people who get or who lose their vision later in life, because I think that's the group of people that are going to struggle a lot with learning how to use a screen reader and becoming proficient at them. And so, you know, I think that if you think about employment rates among the blind, one of the big barriers is, you know, needing to use a computer. And I think I'm not super well versed in this, to be honest, but I think that like, if we can make computers more accessible for people, that will help people find jobs and retain jobs. And I think that will have a lot of impact on people's lives as well. Not just from like a, it's like I can send an email kind of thing, but it'll be like, yes, I can become more independent and I don't have to, you know, learn new types of keyboard shortcuts.
It breaks down the barriers.
Not expressing that very well, but.
For accessing technology in every way.
I do wonder though, exactly. 10 years down the line, do you think we'll look back at this moment and say, this was the beginning of what became the new big operating system, which ultimately was just a button or, you know, a microphone and, you know, a screen with a line of text on it? Because that feels like the way it's going for everything.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, we're just going to have a conversational or, you know, type 2 device interface. And that's going
to
be it.
If I had to totally speculate, I think like the parallel that I draw is with the personal computing revolution and the keyboard and screen, the GUI basically, versus AI and the natural user interface, if you will. So just like being able to use voice and being able to use gestures, even with like the Apple Vision Pro, they have like a lot of gesture based movements. I think it'll be interesting to see if like voice and gestures will make AI easier to adopt the same way that mouse and keyboards and GUIs, or keyboards isn't correct, but the mouse and the GUI made personal computers more accessible to like a mass public, I suppose. And so I think that's my bet in all of this. Like at some point we're going to be like, yeah, this is obvious. Of course we're going to talk to our computers. It might take some time to get there though.
So what is the next plan then? Because obviously this is available now. People can go and download it. There is a fee, right? I remember there's a fee attached to it as well. And there's difference. There's a free version, there's a paid for version. Talk us through all
that. So I guess what I want to be cognizant of is the fact that a lot of people who are blind are unemployed. And so they might be living off of government assistance and they might need if I charge like $100 an hour or whatever, that's not going to be super helpful for them. And so I have like a free tier, which is going to be using GPT-3, and then a premium tier at $15 a month, that's going to be using GPT-4. And so really the difference that you can think about there is less likelihood of errors and longer context windows and just better performance overall. But I think like the bigger customers that I want to go after are the government agencies that basically supply assistive technologies to their constituents and their patrons. I'm also looking at partnerships with schools for the blind. I think a lot of universities might be interested in so far as like meeting ADA requirements and enabling their students to perform well in schools. I think like one thing that's helpful about thinking about this from an assistive technology standpoint is that it's really easy to align with companies and businesses and government agencies and nonprofits, because as long as the tool is genuinely helping people, that's something that is going to be aligned with their goals too. So I think that's kind of how I'm thinking about it from a business standpoint.